Today, I'm sure it hasn't escaped you, is Boxing Day. And if we go back in time, several centuries, I think that we'll find that Christmas Day itself was observed as a holy day by almost everyone. It was a day of worship and prayer, a day when people sincerely thanked God for sending his son into our world, where he would have to face all the hostility and pain that humanity could throw at him. So Christmas Day was seen as a day of worship and quiet contemplation, a holy day like Good Friday. But it was generally felt that as God has given his son to the world as a gift at the first Christmas, it was a good time of year for all who employed others, and this was an age when there was a great contrast between rich and poor in society, but it was a good opportunity to show appreciation to those who faithfully served their master and their mistress. And so they were given a Christmas box of goodies to help them through the winter. And so, in that way, the custom of giving presents, perhaps echoing the wise men and their presents to Christ, the habit of giving presents at Christmas began. Now, it wasn't appropriate to do this on the day of Christmas itself, because in those days, Christmas was a very holy day, a day for prayer and contemplation. So the day after Christmas was chosen for the master and mistress to give their servants their Christmas box, and it became generally known as Boxing Day. But of course you couldn't do this on a Sunday, the weekly day of reverence and rest. So if the 26th of December turned out to be on a Sunday, Boxing Day was moved to the 27th. You had to wait an extra day for your gifts. Now, it seemed to me that in this irreverent age, this custom has been superseded, and my calendar even names December the 26th as Boxing Day, another sign of the growth of the secular society among us. But long before this day became Boxing Day, the church had already given it another title, which it had held for well over 1,000 years. What was that? Or what is that? What is the other name for this day, the 26th of December? Yes? Very good, Stephen. Yeah. St. Stephen's Day. So, who was Stephen? A disciple of Christ? Or a martyr? Well, he was both of those things. He was a disciple of Jesus, but we tend to think of Jesus of having 12 disciples, but he had far more than that. 12 were a committed bunch of 12 who were willing to go with him all around the countryside. But Jesus had a lot of other disciples who at particular times were close companions. And they served him in various ways, depending upon their talents and their opportunities. But perhaps they weren't able to give all their time to Jesus, like Peter and James and John and so on. So instead of travelling around with Jesus like the 12, this disciple, Stephen, was settled in Jerusalem. But there he had an important job to do. He was one of a group of 7 who were made responsible for looking after Christians in the city of Jerusalem who were poor and needy, and his particular task was the distribution of gifts, gifts of food and clothing, etc., to poor widows. Now, of course, we have to remember this was a society that had absolutely no government-run social service or provision for the poor. And we need also to note that Stephen was a Jew who was steeped in Greek culture. The Greeks were the very cultured people of the Eastern Mediterranean, and their culture spread right through the other nations, even to Palestine and Egypt and places like that. And therefore, and some Jews had adopted a Greek style of thinking about things, which rather offended the Orthodox Jews, who tended to reject ideas from outside the Jewish religion itself. So he was a modernist, as you might say, amongst the die-hard traditionalists amongst the Jews, such as the Pharisees. And Stephen was willing to listen to and even to accept new ideas. So he adopted and became enthusiastic for the new idea that Jesus had taught and that Paul and the other disciples or apostles were still teaching. And so that brought Stephen, though he was a Jew, to the notice of the Pharisees and others who rejected any new ideas into the Jewish faith, especially new ideas that were being promoted by this belief in Christ. And the fact was that many Jews, whilst willing to accept much of Jesus' teaching, didn't want to go too far in following Jesus. They would go so far, but not all the way. And one in particularly important difference centered upon the temple. The radical Christians held that the temple was no longer essential to the worship of God. You could worship God just as well in the open air, amid the beauty of his world. Many Jewish Christians still couldn't accept this and held that some temple worship was essential for Christians, at least still important, if not essential. The radical Christians held that the heart, and not the temple, was the true home of God's presence. And furthermore, they downgraded the teaching of Moses, which made the temple and its rituals supreme in the program of salvation. You couldn't be saved without the temple observation. These Jewish Christians began to make the heart of the believer as the seat of salvation, a salvation which essentially depended upon faith in Jesus, who was the true Messiah, and he was also our personal Savior. So God is present in the Messiah, and if he was rejected, no holy ritual or form of behavior practiced by the Jews had the power to save the believer. To the Jewish authorities, this view was, of course, totally unacceptable. Stephen was one of the foremost in promoting this new type of Jewishness, and he was arrested and tried before the council in the temple on the charge that he had claimed that he would destroy the temple and that he would undermine the influence of the Jewish law. Both very similar, of course, to the charges upon which Jesus was condemned. Stephen made a long speech in his own defense, which you can read in the book of Acts. And in this, he showed no sign of climbing down in his opinions. Instead, he renewed his attack upon the Jewish authorities, claiming that they always resisted and rejected the power of God's Holy Spirit. Furthermore, they had resisted and even rejected the power, as your fathers did, he asserted, so did you. Now, the Jewish authorities were enraged by this attack. They were even more enraged when he referred to his master Jesus as the righteous one whom you have now betrayed and murdered. At this point, Stephen claimed to see a vision. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. At this, the authorities straightforwardly accuse him of blasphemy. They drag him out of the city and stone him to death. And as he died, he prayed to God that God would forgive his tormentors and not hold this crime against them. Now, of course, this was an inexcusably violent and cruel event. But surprisingly, as things often turn out, it had a tremendously beneficial effect upon the Christian faith. This cruel persecution of Christians in Jerusalem and Judea led the Christians to flee, to move outwards from Palestine, well away from Jerusalem and the Jewish heartland. Many were all across the Eastern Mediterranean. And so this persecution resulted in the church being scattered the whole length of the Mediterranean Sea. And so the gospel message was carried much faster than it otherwise would have been, rapidly across the whole Roman world. So God turns mankind's evil acts to his own advantage. Now, there was a Pharisee named Saul who came from Tarsus, and he followed them, the disciples, hoping to arrest them and bring them to trial in Jerusalem. But en route, the Holy Spirit confronted Paul, as we know, and he was converted, and his name changed from Saul of Tarsus to Paul, and he was the most powerful instrument in the further establishment of the new church. So once again, persecution and attack upon the Christians only results in the church getting stronger and being more widely accepted. And it's Stephen whom we commemorate today, for this is St. Stephen's Day, the 26th of December. It isn't always Boxing Day, because it didn't used to be, because Boxing Day, if it fell on a Sunday, was moved to the Monday, because you couldn't do the sort of things you do on Boxing Day, enjoying yourself on a Sunday in days gone by. But it is 26th, it's Boxing Day, but it's also St. Stephen's Day, when we commemorate this first Christian martyr who, without realizing it, initiated the first great advance of the faith across the civilized world. And the story of Stephen tells us that right from the earliest days of the church, the Christian life has been founded upon the ideal of personal sacrifice. He led the movement of the distribution of gifts to poor widows, for example. And this reminds us that when we become members of the church, we come not so much to find what we will gain by this, but to learn what we must give if we are to truly become disciples of Jesus Christ as our Lord. And it's in this giving of ourselves, in this personal sacrifice, that we find the treasure that Christ has to give, the peace of mind and the contentment of the soul that we hitherto had not anticipated. For the gifts of God are discovered most readily by those who give all in his service and expect nothing in return. Jesus was God's gift to us at the first Christmas, as we've just been commemorating. And our only appropriate response to him is the gift of our lives and our talents, given wholeheartedly in dedication to him and in relief of our fellow inhabitants of this troubled planet. And let that be our resolution this St. Stephen's Day, as we prepare ourselves for the new year and face all that it will bring. And may the Lord strengthen us all in our dedication. Amen.